This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com. Verses 11 to 15. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. This is God's word. Thank you. We're in the book of Titus, and Titus is an epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote. Titus was a son in the faith, if you will, to Paul, giving him some advice as he leads churches. And this passage that we're going to look into is one of my most favorite passages in the epistles, in the New Testament. It's up there. It's one of my most favorite passages. Titus 11. We'll be looking just this morning at 11 to 13, and it's likely we won't finish. We'll have to carry over to another message. There's just so much there. How many of you have ever gone to a restaurant and you, in preparation for going, have made the decision, whether you're going with your spouse or family, or even by yourself, before you went to the restaurant, you made the decision, I am going to get a three-course meal. You made the decision that you're going to go and you're going to order that calamari. You're going to order that main course. And even though the prices make you shift a little bit in your seat, you're going to get that slice of death by chocolate cake. You make the decision that you're going to have a full course meal. Well, this morning, by God's grace, I hope you're hungry, because you're going to receive a full course meal. In this passage that we're going to dig into, we'll be presented with the grace of God as a full course meal. And it's going to be, hopefully, and Lord willing, a great power in our lives. The title of the message is The Grace of God for This Present Age. And as time goes on, Lord willing, I'll explain what that means. So what is the grace of God? What is the grace of God? Grace of God can be simplified in a very easy statement. And you've heard it before. It is God's unmerited what? Favor. God's unmerited favor. Or you can say that it is God's undeserved blessings in our lives. That is what God's grace is. Now, it comes in different forms. God gives us things that we do not deserve. That's what His grace is. God, as creator of all the universe, having created everything that is around us, having created us, gives us things that we do not deserve. Now, there are all different kinds of grace. I did a series on grace a few years ago, looking at all the different kinds of grace and applications of grace. There are different kinds of grace. There's the general grace, or sometimes it's called the common grace of God. It is the grace of God that is widespread to every human being over the face of the earth. God gives every single human being things that they don't deserve. food to be able to eat and shelter, or the sun rises every morning on all the human race and falls, unless you're somewhere in the North Pole where it comes out maybe a couple days a year, but for the most part, everybody receives that morning sunlight and illuminates the day. There's these things that God gives that we do not deserve. We are recipients of His grace. But then there are those more specific things of His grace. Things that pertain to salvation. God gives us a salvation that we do not deserve. So that is what grace is. And we're going to look at what God's grace is for us as Christians. So if you're here this morning and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to some degree, you know what the grace of God is in your life. Amen? Amen. But here we're going to get a full course meal. And if you'd like to dig in for yourselves, I encourage you to open up to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. We're going to start with the appetizer. The appetizer of the grace of God in our lives is the grace of God that is something that happened in the past. Okay? It is something that happened to us in the past. You'll see as we go on that there's the past, the present, and the future when we look at this passage. But God has given us a grace that has happened in the past. You see, we were shriveling up and hungry in our sin. And then God came to us in some way with His initial grace, those first stages of His grace, that favor that He bestowed on us that we did not deserve. And that is what's presented to us in verse 11. So if you have your Bible and you want to, and you like to write in your Bible and things, you can write next to verse 11 the word past. This is the grace of God that has happened in our past. It is the initial stages of God's grace in our lives as it pertains to us coming to know Him as Lord and Savior. Verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. This is a description of God's grace that is something that happened in the past. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. If you're here today and you've been born again by the grace of God, at some point, the grace of God appeared to you and you received it. You may not know the exact day and moment, but at some point, that grace appeared to you, and by faith, you said yes to His unmerited favor, to His undeserved grace. And before you received that grace, the Bible describes that you are without salvation, that is, lost in a state of sin, lost in a state of condemnation, lost in a state of being, the Bible describes, an enemy of God. Why? Because sin is an offense to a holy God. God is so holy and so perfect that any sin is something He cannot look on, something He cannot tolerate, and one day this world will be purged of all evil and sin. And so if that sin is not dealt with in a person's life by the grace of God, then when that cleansing comes, it will happen. The world will be cleansed. Look, if you will, down in chapter 3, verse 3. We see the description of that appetizer, that initial, that past grace of God. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Right there is a verse that describes a state of being that we were in. It says, we ourselves also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hating and envying one another. There was a state before we were without that grace of God in our lives where we were filled with sin, where we were living according to the dictates of our heart. Some had that life where it was more outward. The things would come out in sexual immorality or outward in addictions and substance abuses. Sometimes it's more inward, where a person maybe outward appearances were squeaky clean, but on the inside it was full of greed or full of hatred or full of pride. These things that God saw. Every human being, it doesn't matter what sin, it doesn't matter what person, had that issue or has that issue of sin in their lives. And until the grace of God comes to deal with it, it remains. In verse 4, but, praise God for that word, amen. Because here we are in a hopeless situation in verse 3. But, verse 4. See, there's a coming of hope. There's a coming of good news. We don't like to hear the bad news. But until we hear the bad news, we won't understand the good news. You see, it's like a house that's burning down. The lost human being is like that house that sin is just burning it up and burning it up and burning it up and it'll soon consume. But there is a coming of a fire rescue with an infinite amount of water to pour into that house. Verse 3 says that we're burning up in this sin, but verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, that's in the past, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Amen. Circle those words if you love those words. He saved us. According to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So that hose was turned on and we received that gush of water into our lives to put out the flames of sin and Satan's power over our lives, not according to something we did, but according to His mercy, what Jesus did on the cross for our sins, for our lives, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Here it is, verse 6, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. These are some of the most beautiful words that we can read. He poured out on us abundantly, an abundant pouring of His grace, an abundant pouring of His forgiveness, an abundant pouring of His mercy fell into our lives when we received it through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His what? By His grace, in verse 7, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God saved us according to His grace. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do something to earn it. He offered to us freely. The firemen came. We freely said yes. He opened the hose. It poured in our house. And we were saved. Praise God. That's the appetizer. Let's skip the main course for the sake of the meat of the message. So that's what happened in the past. We can look back and see the grace of God in our lives. Let's look to the future. Skip verse 12 and jump to verse 13. And you can write next to verse 13, future. So I'll just read verse 11 and tie it into verse 13. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It's appeared to us in verse 13. We're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that grace that came is also going to be a grace that will appear when God comes in His return. in His glorious appearing for salvation. Did you know that there is a grace yet to come? Did you know that there is a grace yet to come? Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter, or in Titus, you can jump ahead to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. There is a grace yet to become. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully, here it is, upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there is a grace that will come in the future. There is a grace of God's appearing when He comes to put an end to the evil of this world. When He comes to come in judgment upon this world, it's going to be a terrible time, but it's going to be for those who have trusted in Him and received His grace, a glorious time. The Bible describes it here as a glorious appearing, a revelation. Back in Titus, a glorious appearing. When Jesus Christ appears, we will see Him. It'll be like digging our teeth into that delicious dessert. It'll be sweet to us as believers. It'll be so wonderful when we see our Lord Jesus. We've been living through this life, walking by faith and not by sight. And there will be a day in which sight will be, faith and sight will conjoin, and we will see Him. We will see our Lord Jesus. Like I said, it's like that dessert. When I worked at the restaurant, we had a Heath Bar Crunch Cake. I don't know if you've ever had a Heath Bar Crunch Cake, but when I served it to the customers, I had to hold it out here to prevent my watering mouth from corrupting it as I gave it to the customer. It was one of the most delicious desserts that we served. I tell you something. If you've trusted in Jesus, you cannot even fathom, you cannot even comprehend the sweetness and the joy that you will be receiving that day when our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ comes. That is His grace to you. You don't deserve His appearing, but He is offering it to you. It is something that gives us hope as we're walking through this life, as we're doing God's will. We can have motivation to do His will because we're looking forward to that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His grace for the future. It is a dessert. Now here's the problem. In my experience as a Christian, and in my experience with Christianity, we tend to enjoy that appetizer. We tend to sink our teeth into that sweet dessert. But we forget the main course. We tend to forget the main course. The real meat. The real sustenance. We tend to enjoy that salvation experience that we had in the past. We tend to look forward to and think about and talk about that dessert that will come in the future. But we skip over the meat and the potatoes of the present. Look, if you will, in verse 12. And you can write next to that verse, present. You see, there's a grace that God gave to us in the past. There's a grace that we're looking forward to in the future. But there's a grace that God wants to give us today to sink our teeth into. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read verse 11 into verse 12 and allow it to speak for itself. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that. What's teaching us? The grace of God, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. This is our main course, right here for today. God has for you, and God has for me, a main course of His grace that we can receive today. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That is something for us today. It is like, I've used this illustration in the past, God has offered to you His bank account of resources to tap into when you need help to live for Him. When you need something to live for Him, to follow Him, to obey Him, to receive help in your time of need, to receive help in your time of temptation, when the sweat's pouring down your forehead and you don't know what to do, there is a grace of God, a power of God, a help of God in His bank account ready for you to take, ready for you to partake of. And He says, the account is open and it's infinite. Whatever you need, whenever you need it, it's there for you. The grace of God that is brought through the salvation of Jesus Christ has come to teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So let's stop right there. There is a grace. Lord willing, if we unpack this in a future message, you'll see here in the first half of this verse that there is a grace that empowers you to say no. And then there is a grace that empowers you to say yes. The first half of this verse gives you the grace to empower you to say no. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. I like the way that the NIV renders it. When I first was introduced to this verse, it was through the NIV. The NIV said, the grace of God has appeared. It teaches us to say no. Imagine if every single time a telemarketer called you, you said yes. If I said yes to every single telemarketer that called me, there would probably be 7 Alexander Ruggieris walking this earth, and the real Alexander Ruggieri would probably be living on the streets. Because these telemarketers come and they offer you, you know, a free cruise trip to the Caribbean, and just give them your credit card number, social security number, bank account number, and you'll be receiving in the mail a free ticket. Sometimes you have to say no, right? Well, there is a grace of God for you in this present age that when Satan comes into your life to tempt you, when there's a temptation from your flesh that remains until that glorification, when there's a temptation from the world around you that is pulling at you, calling you, offering you all these goody-goody-goody things, there is a grace in that moment from Almighty God, His power, for you to say no. And to look at Satan square in the face and say no. And if you didn't rely on that grace, you wouldn't have that power to do that. You can tap into that. But there's also the grace, not only to say no, but there's a grace to say yes. The second half of the verse is, the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So that's the ability for you to say yes to the things that God wants you to do. Yes to the obedience that He has for you. Yes to the life, the will, the calling, the blessings, the gifts, the everything that God has planned for you, has pre-programmed for your Christian life, you can say yes to by the almighty grace of God. Power to say yes. This is our meal because we're here today in the period of the main course. We've received that appetizer. We're looking forward to that dessert, but we've been presented with meat and potatoes and gravy, and it's there for us to enjoy, to receive, to help us. I don't know what you're going through today. I know what I'm going through. I know what difficulties I have to endure, what temptations come my way. I know what struggles come into my mind and my heart and the flesh and all the things that we all deal with. I know what I'm going through, but I don't know what you're going through. But I do know this. If you have received that salvation in the past, repented of your sins, turned to Christ for salvation, partaken of His almighty grace, you are in a state right now that whatever you are going through, whatever difficulty, whether it be relational or internal or external, whatever it is, there is a resource from Almighty God for you to help you in that time of need, to say no what you need to say no to say yes what you need to say yes to, so you can live in this present age by His grace. Doesn't that give us hope? Doesn't that give us, when we feel like, oh, defeated, we can rise up and say to God, thank you, God, that what I'm going through at this moment, I can stop in my tracks and I can draw from the bank. That I can take my fork and I can dig into it. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. See how this is a promise to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This is the promise of His grace to us for today. This is the meat of our meal. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. So that means everybody goes through temptation. Raise your hand if you've ever experienced temptation. Okay, we're all in the same boat here then. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, if He allows the temptation, will also make, what does it say? Will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. That is a promise. And this verse is saying that the promise is grounded upon the faithfulness of Almighty God. When that moment comes, there is a way of escape, there is a grace for you to receive, there is a power for you to receive, there is a prayer you can offer, there is a Bible verse you can bring to mind, there is a door you can walk out to live for God. And here it is. This is what I see. We as Christians, when I worked 8 years, I was in the restaurant industry. It was very, very rare. I very rarely met somebody who came in just for an appetizer and a dessert. Very rarely. And if it happened, I kind of thought something was, they probably didn't have a big enough appetite for a big meal, but you get the point. It is normal. In fact, it is necessary for us to realize we have a main course today. We have a power today. We have a provision from God today. He's extended His grace to us in the past. He is promising a grace for us in the future that one day our bodies will be made whole, the sinful nature will be removed, heaven that we've been looking forward to will come, and it'll be glorious. But right now, as we are standing here, I'm standing here, you're sitting, at this moment, there is, from God, grace, favor, blessing that we don't deserve to help us in our time of need. When you feel like you want to just lash out with your tongue, there's a grace to help you sanctify it before you speak. In that moment, when that thought comes to your mind and you'd love to dwell on it a little bit, there's a grace in that moment to do away with it. Every single temptation that you and I can experience, there is a resource. There is a side dish. There is a slice of meat that you and I can have in that moment. This is why it is one of the most beautiful passages for me. Lord willing, we're going to unpack the spheres that this influences in our lives in verse 12. But for this morning, I want us to just dwell on that truth. There's a grace for the past. Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and received that initial grace? Have you realized that you are a sinner? Not that there's sin out there and we're all sinners, but you realizing, making that your own responsibility, your own standing before God, saying, I am a sinner. Have you come to that place? The Bible says that until we receive forgiveness and grace, the Bible says we are under the condemnation of God. We are under the wrath of God. But the Bible also says that the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared. So that if you trust His forgiveness extended to you today, you can be forgiven. You can be washed through regeneration. You can be renewed by the Holy Spirit. And you can be saved. Have you received this salvation? Once you accept Christ, you can look forward to a grace in the future. But have you, as a Christian today, if you're sitting here as a believer in Jesus Christ, have you realized the main dish that is there in front of you? Available for you in that time of need. It's a full course for us, brothers and sisters. Let us partake. Gracious Father in heaven, I thank you for your abundant grace. I thank you for the opportunities you give to teach us this. I don't think we will ever truly unpack all that is offered. But I thank you that you've chosen to reveal to us exactly what we need for today. I pray for all of us here that all of us here have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. That if anybody has not, they would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. I pray for all of us that have received that we would leave from this place ready to partake of your grace. So that when we go back to our daily schedules tomorrow, we're not left alone to our own resources. We're left with the abundant ocean of your power, mercy, strength, forgiveness for when we stumble, because we often stumble and fall. But you are willing to forgive us, get us back on our feet, and continue to lead us and carry us, Lord. All by your grace, help us. Help us to live for you in the days to come, to do your will, that when you appear, we will be overjoyed. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.